What's up, guys? Nick from P2W Fantasy here from the office, early hours of the day, 7:10 Central Time. So I tried recording this yesterday and the connection was so bad that I had to just abort mission and I didn't get to actually record. So I wanted to jump on right away. I wasn't able to last night. You know, the coaching gig I have, it's pretty demanding at times and I need to make sure I'm spending enough time with my family. My wife, my daughter. So finding some time here early this morning, trying to kick things off with an episode. Before we get into that, though, we are right around the corner of the NFL season, 2021 season. Some people have drafts still to go this coming weekend or on Memorial Day coming up. One-stop shop, everything you will need to be prepared for drafting, for rankings, projections, weekly articles, DFS, whatever you want. It's in one spot. Check out fantasypoints.com/subscribe. You can use my promo discount code 21win10. I knew I had that graphic somewhere floating around, but there we go for fantasypoints.com. I use it all the time, every single day. So it's not something I'm just blindly promoting there. But what I have going on today are the 2021 players I will not be drafting. I won't be drafting lists. So I'll get into that in a quick second here once we get through our intro. To win, no fear to give. I feel but I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win, I play to win, yeah, yeah, I play to win, I play to win. Oh, play to win, I play to win, yeah, yeah, play to win, I play to win. All right, so as I said before, talking today about the 2021 I won't be drafting list. So before people go crazy and get defensive about some of these guys, this is a personal thing. So the reason for the most part that I'm not drafting some of these guys is because I like other guys that are being drafted around them more. So if I like somebody who their ADP or average draft pick is pretty close, same position, then I won't be drafting some of these guys. It's just as simple as that. I'm not saying that they won't be useful for fantasy. I'm not going to say that they're bad at football. It's nothing along those lines. It's literally, I prefer other guys in comparison to these guys. So let's kick that off. Have a cool PowerPoint. Spent a little bit of time making the PowerPoint list yesterday, but we'll kick things off. Got a couple different positions to talk about. Obviously, running back, I have two of those. I think I have a few wide receivers, a tight end, and a quarterback. But first and foremost, kind of on brand, Joe Mixon. So Joe Mixon, haven't been a fan for most of his career, in all honesty, not ripping the player. I think he does have the opportunity for increased volume this year, but his ADP is RB13 right now. So last time I'll just say what the acronym is, ADP, average draft position, RB13. Guys that are close to that, all right, or after that actually, are CEH, Montgomery, Swift, and Chris Carson. So CEH, Montgomery, and Swift are all guys that I have ranked above Joe Mixon. Chris Carson, I have him neck and neck. So all of those guys are going right after Joe Mixon, and I prefer a lot of them before him. So that's my reasoning for not wanting to draft him just in general. I think that, you know, the concerns are the O-line, of course, not really addressed as much as they needed to this offseason. I think they're going to be very, very pass heavy with those three weapons in Chase, Higgins, Boyd. And they're going to have to because they're going to be chasing a lot of games because their defense is not good. What also concerns me is he has a career 4.1 yards per carry, which is very, very average. There's nothing that stands out for that being good or even, you know, slightly above average. It's very, very average. So not something that, you know, we talk about enough for running backs, but it is important. And I'm sure there's other things that, you know, contribute to that or are reasons behind that. But it stands out to me as something very average. This past season, he missed a lot of games. He's missed 14 games in the past 4 years due to injury. Most are from this last season. not going to go on a limb and say, oh, he's injury prone or anything like that, but he has a chance this season to come back and get some volume. But another concern from this last year, small sample size, but here's some of the fantasy point scoring games that he had early on. So he had a 6.1, a 12.6, an 8.5 fantasy point scoring game before that massive 42.1 fantasy week, but it was against one of the weaker defenses in the NFL, Jacksonville Jaguars. And again, I'm not going to say that it's all tied to them being a weak defense. He has to go out and get it. But those are a couple bad weeks right out the gate for a guy that some people were drafting as their personal RB1 for fantasy. So again, when it comes to O-line, the scheme of the offense, defense is going to be bad. They're going to be chasing games. Not a ton of yards per carry for his career. Really shaky games last year. I'd rather take a handful of running backs instead of Joe Mixon. So he's a guy I'm not going to be drafting this year. Next is Chase Edmonds, and a lot of people will get angry about this because there's tons and tons of Chase Edmonds truthers, and I do think he could be a decent flex play, especially if he's getting the passing volume. I'm hoping for the people that are big truthers of this guy that Rondale Moore doesn't affect the pass catching opportunities for Chase Edmonds if he ends up, you know, doing some jet sweeps or getting those screen passes or lining up in areas that Chase Edmonds might have been dangerous. That's more of a bit of a reach, but it is a possibility. He is drafted as, and for these ADP, I pulled this yesterday, so I'm hoping nothing changed drastically, but RB24, Daryl Henderson, not a massive fan of his, but I think his opportunity is better. Javonte Williams, both of the Buccaneers running backs, Trey Sermon and Gus Edwards, which will change soon, are all guys being drafted after Chase Edmonds that I would prefer to Chase Edmonds. He's been a change of pace passing down back before. Because of that, he actually does have a solid yards per carry. I think he's going to have a slight increase in his workload now that Kenyon Drake is gone, but it's slight. The word is slight. I don't think that he's going to have this massive increase in workload as long as James Conner is healthy. I think people really want Chase Edmonds to be like the next Alvin Kamara, and I don't see it at all. We've seen James Conner when he's healthy in the past. He had an RB6 season. I'm not going to say that's going to be what James Conner brings to this team, but we've seen him be very, very relevant for fantasy, and he does both pass catch and rush the ball, and he's going to be effective in the goal line. Drake last season was 7th in RB carries, plus top 3 for red zone carries from 5 yards out. In my mind, James Conner just slides into that role where he's going to have a split of a workload with Chase Edmonds. He's going to get the red zone carries, and he might steal some passes too away from Chase Edmonds. So, you know, if you were to say that Chase Edmonds is going to have more of the workload, fine, but it's definitely going to be a running back by committee. Edmonds, again, a guy that, you know, I'd be willing to flex, but I'm not starting him as my RB2 for fantasy. Next guy on my list might take a little bit of heat for this too, but Brandon Ayuk. So great season, you know, his rookie year. I think he surprised a lot of people, including myself. His ADP right now is wide receiver 23. So that is ahead of guys like T. Higgins, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, and Brandon Cooks. So all of those guys I just named, I trust their volume more than I trust Brandon Ayuk's. That's the big separator. I trust these guys to have a more consistent target volume. Again, T. Higgins, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, Brandon Cooks over Brandon Ayuk. You know, weeks 13 through 15, he was the wide receiver 5, which was great. That was actually phenomenal for fantasy if you had him last year. No George Kittle in any of those games. He had Debo in week 13, but then he exited really early in week 14 and was out the rest of the year. So he barely, during those big weeks, had George Kittle or Debo Samuel. And hey, he had to pop off. He had to have massive weeks, and he absolutely did. But my concern is when all three of these guys are in the mix and they already are a run-heavy offense that might be changing with a running quarterback, I'm concerned about the target share being consistent. ESPN, I looked on the app. They project Ayuk and Kittle to both have 119 targets and then Debo to have 104. I think there's going to be a lot of weeks where it might be frustrating for one of these two wide receivers in Debo or Brandon Ayuk. Debo's going as the wide receiver 35. Ayuk, the 23. So you're investing more in your draft in Brandon Ayuk than you are in Deebo Samuel. And I do prefer Ayuk to Samuel, but there's going to be those weeks where Kittle is getting the bulk of the targets. And there's probably going to be most of those weeks. I think George Kittle is still the target number one on this team. And then you're going to have Deebo getting involved, and Ayuk is going to want his share too. So juggling around where the targets are going to go, I don't trust it as much to be consistent to Brandon Ayuk. And he did really pop off when those other two guys were gone. So I do think he will be relevant this year, of course. I just don't think that I want to spend that wide receiver 23 capital on him. I think I'd rather spend it on some of those guys I listed before that might have more of a consistent volume, more consistent target share. Next guy is Michael Thomas. So going as the wide receiver 30, if he comes back, could he perform at a high level? Sure, if he's healthy, sure. August 16th, Coach Payton came out and said that he was ahead of schedule, which is a good sign. But I have so many question marks when it comes to Michael Thomas. And I really, for redraft, just don't want to take chances. And it might be the case where, hey, you already are not going to have a bye week until week six. So if he misses 6 weeks, you weren't going to use him in general anyways. You can stash him on your bench. Sure, but I still think you're taking a chance here because you have the delayed surgery. Why there was a delayed surgery, we don't know, but it's concerning. Following the rehab to a surgery, at what point is he going to be NFL game ready? Being cleared to play and being cleared to participate in a full-blown NFL game, I think, are two different things. I don't know the timeline. I'm not an injury expert. Go check out guys like Edwin Porras from Fantasy Points. Go see what he's saying about him, but it's just kind of murky for me right now. Will he be game ready? You had all these cryptic tweets that he came out with, the delayed surgery, the trade rumors that we've seen. I think there's just so many question marks and so many oddball things that can happen in this situation that I just don't think it's necessary to grab him unless he's falling way, way down your draft board. If he's being drafted as the wide receiver 30 still come your draft and somebody wants to reach on them, I'm fine with it. Let them. I personally won't be that guy. If he falls into my lap way late in the draft and everybody's avoiding him, then you might take a shot. But I think, again, the surgery, the cryptic tweets of him coming out and saying things, kind of hinting at the organization, the trade rumors, we don't know what's going to happen with this guy. Will he even play this year? I don't think it's 100% confirmed. So that's, to me, enough for him to make this list and for me to avoid him. Next guy, DJ Chark. So, 2 years ago, Chark was the wide receiver 17. I think a lot of people are hanging on to that, and it was great for fantasy. I think his efficiency, even that season, was kind of iffy. ADP of wide receiver 38. I like Chenault better, and he's going after him. I like Elijah Moore better. I like Corey Davis better. I like the potential Will Fuller or Waddle for the Dolphins better. But I do DJ Chark because I think there's a real possibility that he's the third guy for the target share. Marvin Jones has been very relevant for fantasy. He's a guy that goes out there, does his job well, and if you give him the targets, he'll grab them. And I think Laviska Shenault is going to be a favorite, not only of Trevor Lawrence, but of Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer loves himself a gadget guy that he can line up in the backfield, throw him in a slot, throw him out wide, have him do some screen plays, have him do some sweeps. I think Urban Meyer is going to get creative with Shenault, which is going to elevate his fantasy stock. And I think he has a true opportunity himself in his sophomore season to be the number one on this team. I think Marvin Jones has the opportunity to be the number one on this team. Could Chark be that guy? Sure, too, but again, I think that it's so unclear where the targets are going to go that I'm just not sold on Chark, especially after this last season. And I know that it was a weird mix of like Gardner Minshew and Mike Glennon and Jake Luton as the quarterbacks this past season. But we've seen other wide receivers perform with sketchy quarterback plays. And this past season, he had 13 games, all right, that he played in. Out of those 13 games, 9 of them he scored under 12 fantasy points. So yes, Trevor Lawrence is going to be a massive upgrade, but that concerns me that he burned a lot of people way too many times in 2020. So I'm out on Shark. I think that, again, we don't know where the roles are going to be. And I actually would probably bank on Marvin Jones and Chenault having better fantasy seasons due to Marvin Jones' career and what he's done in Detroit. And then Chenault, I think, really just showed some great glimpses of, hey, this guy can be very versatile. And now he's got a coach that loves versatility. So DJ Chark, a guy I've never really been in on. And now I'm just not really into it all. So we'll go to the tight end position. This one might be obvious, but you're still going to have people in the home leagues that are going to want the familiar name. And Rob Gronkowski is that familiar name. This past season, he did well. He did well with, you know, scoring, and he had some higher yardage plays. I think Gronk's good at that, just to break off for a big gain, you know, down the field. The depth of his throws were good. He got a lot of goal line work, but what concerns me is the 4.8 targets per game. And why that is even more concerning is that we didn't have a full season of the trio of Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. With all three of those guys healthy on the field, hopefully for a full slate, where the targets are left for Gronk is concerning. He's going as a tight end 15, which in a 12-person league wouldn't be a starting tight end, but I don't even want him as my tight end 2, in all honesty. He had top six weeks, according to the ESPN app, but 823rd or worse. Again, the tight end position, it's tough to find consistency, but with that low 4.8 targets per game and hopefully now a healthy season of Evans, Godwin, and AB, add OJ Howard back into the mix, who I have loved. He's coming off a rough injury with the Achilles, but in the small sample size of him and Gronk both playing, he out-targeted Gronk early on. So that's another guy that might find some targets along with whoever from the backfield, if it's Leonard Fournette or Gio Bernard, getting targets from Tom Brady as well. So the target share was already iffy. Now it looks even more kind of sketch. So I'm out on Rob Gronkowski. Again, you might have him drafted earlier than expected in your home leagues because of the name value. So not a guy I'm looking for by any means to draft ahead of some guys that I think will have a heavier target volume and potential to get good snaps and routes on the field. Will he be on the field? Sure. But the biggest thing for me for the tight end position is target volume. And that's just a personal thing. So again, this is my personal, I'm not drafting list for any of these guys on the list here. If you want to go ahead and grab them, power be it. But these are the reasons why I'm out on a lot of these guys. And last year, my QB, Ben Roethlisberger. And the reason I'm throwing him on here is because I see so many tweets all the time saying, if you like Najee Harris, if you like Deontay Johnson, if you like Chase Claypool, if you like Juju Smith, then you should like Ben Roethlisberger. But I don't know if that's necessarily true always. He was the QB 14 in 2020. He offers nothing on the ground. He had 11 rushing yards this season, 7 the season before. And you see guys like Tom Brady who also don't have any sort of rushing ability, but it limits an upside. So if he doesn't have this huge, huge touchdown season, I think his upside is minimal. This past season, the 6.3 yards per attempt was his career low. So even though his wide receivers had some nice games, the yards per attempt is pretty low. So you're really banking on him scoring or throwing for a ton of touchdowns. I think they will implement the run with Najee Harris. They had a terrible running game last season. So this also in turn might mean a little bit of a dip in the passing volume. I think they'll still have a lot of passes thrown. I think they'll still want to establish the passing game, but having Najee, I think that kind of alleviates Big Ben having to overthrow in games. And we know their defense is elite, very good defense. So maybe they can really split the runs with the passes more than they did the last season. He's QB 19 for his ADP, which you'll say to me, hey, well, that's low as is, but QB2, I want a guy with high upside. I talked about that on a board session I had in the office here. But a guy like Justin Fields and Trey Lance, I know it's rookie fever, but they have a lot bigger of an upside because of the dual threat ability than a guy like Big Ben does. So if I'm getting my safe top 12 quarterback early on, or, you know, wherever you take them, I think the second quarterback that I'm hopefully just using on a bye week, or if that quarterback takes off, needs to be a guy with some high upside. So Big Ben to me does not offer high upside outside of the possibility of throwing a lot of touchdowns. So I'm going to go with a guy that might have a dual threat ability or might really pick up their game and be an asset to fantasy, like a guy like Justin Fields, like I just mentioned before. So short list, there's other guys that I've been avoiding, but these are some guys that have stuck out to me. And again, I'm not saying that these guys won't be good for fantasy and won't be useful for fantasy. It's a personal preference. And when I say a personal preference, it means that I personally am drafting other guys that are around their ADP before them. And there's guys that are going after them in drafts that I want before them. So when that stands out to be, that means that I'm avoiding these guys unless they fall in my lap. And again, play your draft board, because although I said somebody is going as the wide receiver 30 or whatever the case is, if they end up going as the wide receiver 40 in your draft, then they are a value. So you really just have to play your draft board and see where these guys fall. But these are guys I'm not reaching for redraft purposes in 2021. Thanks for checking this out, and good luck in your upcoming drafts or just in general for your fantasy.